up and get out, and now they ask me to speak. Stay here.
I'll just watch Matt's hand.
Watch his hand, eh? Friends, I'm an alcoholic. My name is Norm Ralston. I came here from Vancouver with my daughter and my son, and we're thoroughly enjoying things here. I am so happy. I've been in Hawaii a couple of times before, and so nice to see all you folks. And thanks, Laura, for your job of chairing. I started off this drinking career at rather an early age, and then soon I had a wife and six kids, and it took from the time I got introduced into AA in 1954, it took 10 more years before I was able to lose everything and drive them neurotic in the meantime. So I really have only been sober since 1964. So that gives me 50 years anyway. That's a good start. But, you know, thank you. So things are different. I've had the opportunity to 12-step quite a few people. One of my boozing buddies down on Skid Row in Vancouver was Boozy Boren. And Boozy was going along the street without his hat. And I says to him, "Boozy, where's your hat?" And he says, "I don't know." So I was quite involved with 12-stepping at that time and getting people in. I said, "Well, Boozy, the best thing for you to do is not worry about it. Just go into the cathedral down here and sit down. And as the men come in, they'll put their hats up on the peg. And then you can take one of the hats and you'll be all right. Don't worry about it, Boozy." Of course, one look at him will tell you he was rubbed up. He's stopping me already. So anyway, just if anybody says anything, just tell them I said it's okay. So poor Boozy, he did that, and the preacher happened to be going on about the Ten Commandments, and then Boozy just stayed seated till everybody left, and then he told the preacher what he had in mind about getting himself a hat and so on, and the preacher said, "Well, those Ten Commandments are pretty powerful. That part about thou shalt not steal was impressing you quite a bit, I'm sure." So Woozy said, "Well, no, it wasn't that one. It was that commandment about thou shalt not commit adultery. I remembered exactly where I left my hat." So you see, thank you. But I could go on here for quite a while today, and but I won't. It took me 10 years to where I had lost everything. Those 10 additional years helped, and we don't get into this program where we still have something left. We think when we come in that we still have some honor and some all these different things, the absolutes and so on. We learn about those things as we go along, and we're given a wonderful gift of a great life. And not often that I get to see so many nice looking people, I'll tell you that. But anyway, I'm going to sit down because it's like it says in the good book in the Bible that it is better for us to sit at the back and be asked to come up to the head table than it is for us to sit at the head table and be asked to go to the back. Anyway, it's a pleasure to be here, and I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful time here in Hawaii.
Okay, so once again, if you just came in, we're going to be calling you up to just have a seat up front. So I'm going to go through the first few names again. Ernest. Okay, Jim H. All right, Linda McD. Okay, Okay, Carlos L. Okay, excellent. Carlos L.
Hi, everyone. My name is Carlos. I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is December 19th, 1983. I got sober when I was 23 years old. And Alcoholics Anonymous has been a big part of my life since that time. And the theme of giving back here today is, I was such a taker, and the idea of giving freely of what I have found here to others, like we read in the Vision for You, has been kind of what has kept me in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've gotten so much here for doing pretty much very little. And they told me if I stayed clean and sober, and if I followed direction and took action and kept moving forward with that, that I'd be okay. I never thought that I'd be here this long. It's very humbling to be in a room of people that have been sober for a very long time. I go to meetings and people are telling me, like, I wasn't even born when you got sober. And my answer to them is that, well, we all wound up in the same place. You know, so here at this meeting, I can say I wasn't born when a lot of you got sober. So it's awesome. And this convention was like, you know, I was like 2 years old when this convention started. So it's amazing to kind of be here and to be able to participate on this level. The perception from up here is a lot different than it is from down there. So I'm very grateful to be clean and sober today. Thank you.
Okay, Myrna R. All right. Leon F.
Thank you. My name's Myrna, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm from West Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And my sobriety date is May 28th, 1984, 30 years and 5 months and almost 4 days. It'll be about 4, anyway, almost 30 and a half years. I can't believe it. I was very young when I came in, very, very young. Okay, I was not quite 30. And so, but, you know, when you think that I wished I would have got here before before most of the awful things happened. And, but we also have to remember that we all have to lose what we have to lose to get to the point where we don't want to live that way anymore. And so, I'd like to go on and tell my whole story about how the worst things that I lost and so on. I'm so grateful to be here and for this long-timers meeting to be here and to hear the stories from the old-timers and so on. I don't consider myself an old-timer yet, a long-timer. I don't know why that is. That's my dad, Norm R., with over 50 years, and his sister with over 34, and another brother of mine, not the one that came here, but another brother of mine with over 34 years, and so on, and nieces and nephews and cousins that are just coming in, and it's not all great big Mayberry story here, you know. There's also people in the family that have been in and gone back out and drinking and died, and like my uncle, one of Dad's brothers that died when he was just 51 years old, and the whole thing about it was the same story of my dad asking him when he was just a couple months before he died, you know, what happened, Neil, what happened, and my uncle said the fire went out. So I have to remember to come to places like this, and this is, I think, my 14th time I've been to the Hawaiian Convention, and in the last 27 years ago was the first time I'd come here. But we just got back from a long trip across Canada and the U.S., Dad and I, to the AA birthplaces and so on. And then coming over here with my other brother for this convention. Life is beautiful today. Bottom line today is that life is beautiful. So thank you all for my sobriety, and thank you all for all of the work that you've done over the years, like Ron and all the rest at the 12 Coconuts meeting. So grateful to be here, and thank you for my sobriety.
Okay, I'm going to call up the next five, and then we'll have Leon. So Christian G, Brian W, Marianne F, Bogey P, Chrissy P, if you'd like to come have a seat up front just to make things go. I figured it out. With everyone that signed up, you get like a minute and 55 seconds. Most people can't even say their name, their state, and their sobriety date. So we're extending it. So we're going to move things along really quick so everybody gets a chance to share, okay? Leon.
Imagine somebody saying that. Thank you for your patience. My name's Leon, and I'm a real alcoholic with permanent sobriety. And I signed up for a couple activities yesterday. One was the 6 a.m. surf meeting, because I've never been on a surfboard before. And I didn't go to that meeting this morning. And I signed up for another meeting, activity, and it was the volleyball, but I am here. And the reason I didn't go to the 6 a.m. meeting is because I did the 3 a.m. Alcathon meeting last night. And, at this convention, I was like, we see people all the time, and we're coming and going and passing, and so I saw this gentleman, and I said, what's up with this guy anyway? And then 3 a.m. This morning, we're both in the same meeting, and I heard his story, and I get to know this guy. And you know what? I really like what I got to know. And what I'm going to say is, as far as giving back, I went to an academic conference in Sydney, Australia, where he's from, and after I landed on the plane and got the taxi to the hotel, I was telling the taxi driver, we got in this conversation about, you never guess what, alcoholism. And it turns out that he had a son with a really bad drinking and drug problem, and I told him that I was going to this meeting, and if he wanted to drop my bags, then he could take me to this meeting afterwards. And I said, and remember where this place is. See, I was carrying the message to the cab driver, and I said, because when your son's ready, this is where you take him. And that was On the Rocks meeting in Sydney, Australia. I'm Leon, a real alcoholic. Thanks very much.
Okay, next we have Ernestina with 29 years of sobriety.
Aloha kakahiaka. That means good. Aloha and good morning. I'm Ernestina, and I am a clean and sober alcoholic addict. And Architects of Adversity is my home group. I first got drunk down here at Queen's Surf in 1959 New Year's Eve, before a lot of the hotels were the way they are now. And I grew up on the beach at Waikiki before there were hotels other than the Moana, the Royal, and the Halekulani, which was two stories and not a... And, I have had to practice acceptance in my own hometown. I have left here before. you know, I didn't stay here the whole time, but I look around and I have to practice acceptance, because in my day you could float on your back in the ocean and look at the mountain ranges and know where you were, and you can't see the mountains a lot of the time. But I don't have to, come to consciousness from hangovers. I can get up in the morning. And what I do every morning is I say, thank you, God, for another day clean and sober. And as I drive my little car to go down to the YMCA pool before I go to work, I say the third step prayer. And some days I'm really, you know, not cooperating fully, but I say it twice. I try it. I used to say it in the swimming pool, but I would lose track of it, so I do it in the car. I came to Al-Anon in January 1980 because I was very concerned with other people, what they were doing, and so on and so forth. And I lived in an atmosphere of violence. I was violent. My first husband, who is now dead, but anyway, we were real alcoholics. And I have a son who is today 50 years old, and he was raised with violence, and his parents were drunks, and, oh, it's time to quit. Anyway, so I knew I was a drunk. I came to AA after going to Al-Anon a while, and I did go in and out, and I hit a terrible bottom, and I'm glad I did. I give back by going to prisons, the women's prison for 23 years, the federal detention center. My joy is to tell other AA folk, wow, there are these people who really need, you know, I'm just trying to carry the message. There are women who have come up to me today. There's a woman here tonight or today who we used to go to the women's prison when I very first started. And but anyway, women come up to me on the sidewalk and say, oh, thank you. I say, no, thank your higher power. It's the program of Alcoholics Anonymous that they respond to. I've seen lives changed. I've seen families reunited. The women don't talk about my old man, my husband, my boyfriend. They talk about their children. The answers are in this book, and we have the books in the prisons, in the federal detention center. It's available around this world. Our brothers and sisters, you know, and I'm just saying, it's the most wonderful, heartening thing to carry the message, no matter where you do it. And I was taught, get over there and shake hands with a newcomer. I'm a newcomer. Get over there. And that's how it spread. One alcoholic sticking their hand out and saying, welcome. And then I was raised. It's in the book. So, sorry I went over a bit, but thank you.
Okay, Christian G.
Hi, my name's Christian. I'm an alcoholic from Perth in Western Australia. My sobriety date is 29th of November 1981, and I too, like the previous speaker, came in by Al-Anon. I had a partner, and he and I just got drunk all the time, and I constantly thought it was his fault, not mine. But when I got into Al-Anon and then started coming to AA meetings, I recognised I identified with the alcoholics. It's been an amazing journey. It's been a real up and down journey for me, because I've constantly wanted to take my power back and become the higher power again. But each time I've done that, it hasn't worked. And the more I've gone along in this program, the more I've seen that I just need to keep it really, really simple. And I've had a fantastic example of sobriety from my sponsor. And I'm an old-timer now, so like somebody else said, I don't feel like an old-timer, but I am. But fantastic example from the people that I perceived to be old-timers when I came into this fellowship. And I've just been blown away, actually, by the example of service. You guys just talk about service so much and about caring about each other. And, you know, it's just so good for me to be here with you because my husband was diagnosed as being terminally ill earlier on this year. And, you know, I honestly didn't feel like I had anything to give. But, you know, this program, it kicks in, and I just knew that I had to keep being of service in this fellowship. But I sort of got to the end of that. And by the way, he's fine. He doesn't have cancer. He's totally fine and just so grateful. But just got to the end of that feeling absolutely exhausted, and now we're here in Hawaii and just hearing about the love that you have for each other and the way that you're so much into service and the big book and the program has just rejuvenated me again, so thank you so much.
Hey, Brian W.
Hi everyone, I'm Brian and I'm an alcoholic and I'm also from Perth in Western Australia. In fact, I'm from the very same part of Perth as the previous speaker because we've been married for 23 years. Early in sobriety, and my sobriety took me a while to get from my first meeting to my last drink was about 7 years, I think 6 or 7 years, but once I got into it and accepted that I was an alcoholic and I could never drink again, I had a home group that was a steps meeting and I went to a number of other meetings at the same time. I did about 4 or 5 a week for about the first 5 years. And I remember people saying, you know, that you get sober on the end of a tea towel, you know, you help set up the meetings and help clean up afterwards. And I went to a state anniversary at a big community hall in Perth 1 year and around this time of year was the anniversary. And at the end of the meeting, you know, I was sort of walking around a little bit lost and strange and a lot of anxiety, and it was a big crowd of people and I wasn't handling it all that well. And somebody gave me a big broom and said, here, I'll clean up the floor, and so I did that. And it made such a difference. I felt part of this community. I felt part of the team. I've been accepted as a member by that gesture. And I suspect the person who gave me the broom could see that I needed something to do to get me involved, and that was a gift. And it changed my attitude about myself and about this terrific community of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I accepted that part of the deal was that you had to give back, you had to do service, and you could do that at any stage of your sobriety. You didn't have to wait until you got through the first 11 steps to start doing some sort of activity. And that stuck with me, and it's, for me, it's an expression that just saying I'm grateful doesn't mean anything without the action. Thank you.
Maybe this will stay. Okay, Marianne F.
Aloha. My name is Marianne. I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 29th, 1989, and my home group is the Waikoloa Night Owls on the Big Island of Hawaii. My husband and I moved to Hawaii 17 years ago last Wednesday, and I've been coming to this convention ever since. And the long-timers meeting was always the highlight of the convention for me, and I never thought I would have enough sobriety to be able to get up here and be at the podium. And I love all of the old-timers that are now gone. Frank Honeycutt, that used to be his meeting, and he would lead it, and he was wonderful. And Don Anderson, and just many, many others. Giving back, I was taught early in sobriety that I would never graduate, but the primary purpose of Alcoholics Anonymous was to stay sober and help other alcoholics. And that's what I tried to do. In April, at the Big Island Bash, I got up at the podium and I shared that my husband had been given 6 months to live. And he died 2 months later on Father's Day. And the last 4 months have been the hardest of my life. And I never could have done it without the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, because everyone in West Hawaii and all the AAs all over the world that I know gave back to me. They held me up. They arranged things. They provided food at the funeral. I mean, just everything. The people of Alcoholics Anonymous have just been fabulous. And yeah, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love my life today. I know I'm not happy. I'm sad. But I love my life today, because if it weren't for Alcoholics Anonymous, I wouldn't be standing up here. The fellowship, the steps, the tradition, the higher power that I have today that I did not have when I got here and did not want have just, you know, kept me going. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love all of you for being here. Thank you.
Bogey P.
Hello, my friends. My name is Bogey. I'm an alcoholic. Mimua Waimea is my home group. And what a beautiful life we have. Everything I have today, my beautiful marriage, my children who have never seen me drink, beautiful grandchildren, friends, and the ability to give of myself that I never was able to do before, I owe everything I have to Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything I have. And I thank God for this beautiful gift of sobriety. And a friend of mine the other day said, if you're in service, Bogey, you will never take a vacation from Alcoholics Anonymous. And it really hit me, and I kind of picked up on that. I've been kind of using that. And I was around people, especially my father-in-law, who was also my sponsor. And if it wasn't for his love and your love, I would not have 31 years today, you know. So, he always told me, Bogey, how are you going to have a brand new life when you're dragging the old one around with you? And he said, well, we need to get into service. You need to do this. I want you to introduce yourself to three people you've never met in every single meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous you go to. And that's how it began for me. Because it is in just that touch. And you never know when that man or ladies, it might be their first day. You never know. Or they might be planning this is their last meeting. You just never know. But it's so important for me to keep coming out. And he always said, we've got to keep the doors open. Our job is to keep the doors open. Never take for granted those are going to open by themselves. And he had an extraordinary love for Alcoholics Anonymous. And this has always been super important to my heart. When he was dying of leukemia, and he was ready to go to heaven, the men that he sponsored were gathered around his bed. And we had just finished an AA meeting. And we were closing with the Our Father, and we were all holding hands. And he said, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. At that very second, he went to heaven. So he loved AA so much and gave back so much that he was waiting till the meeting was ended to go see God. You see? Thank you.
I'm going to call up the next five. Bruce Anthony, I assume if they put their last names, they're okay with that, right? Ted Potts, Lyndon Hansick, and Michael Hansick. And then Sunshine Loomis. I love the last names. So much for anonymity. Okay, and our next person is Chrissy P. That's you.
Aloha, I'm an alcoholic. My name is Chrissy. And I'm just going to start right into the topic. And when you said giving, I thought we cannot keep the precious gift of sobriety unless we give it away. And so I was thinking, when was the turning point for me of giving this wonderful program away? I would have to say at my fourth and fifth step, where it says I would be able to receive forgiveness and give it to. And I don't know, maybe the third time since I did my fourth step, I sat with my sponsor, and my sponsor gave of herself. She gave me 3 days of her time. She took off her watch. She gave up herself. She gave treasury. She made sure my meals was made while I was, you know, doing this fourth step. And, you know, sure enough, something of great moment occurred. As step five promised, it would, something of great moment is apt to occur. And I believe it was a spiritual experience where I knew God had entered, and that the we, that wasn't just me and my sponsor and you, but now the we was my sponsor, you, and my higher power. And that, I can give that away because it's written in the book. And so now I wasn't afraid of sponsoring or putting that hand or, you know, of going deeper, you know, and opening up my life to another recovering woman. And they wasn't afraid of me. So, you know, that's what I have. And that's why I chose to give, you know, because I cannot keep that unless I give it away, you know, which means I have the gift of my time, sometimes my treasure, you know, my family, you know, I share my family to share. I really love what you shared, Norm, who had 50 years. That was beautiful. You gave me a laughter when you shared. I'm never going to forget that joke. You know, that's a great one. But I was laughing, you know, it was humorous, you know. We give one another the gift of life. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Okay, Bruce.
Hi, my name is Bruce Anthony, and I am an alcoholic. How are you all doing? All right. And my sobriety date, September the 10th, 1983. My home group's the Twin Lakes Group, and it's in a little town called Luxor in Pennsylvania. It's out by Pittsburgh. Go Steelers. And in service work, though, my second time around at AA, I didn't do any service my first time. My second time around, I actually asked somebody to be my sponsor. He said he'd do it temporarily, and he was my sponsor for 10 years. He was all into service work. He said, well, I'm going to suggest some things for you to do, and I hope you do them. I said, okay. The first thing he suggested was I should stand at the door and shake hands with people. And I thought, why would I want to do that? I don't even want to know anybody. I'm pretty, you know, shy and backwards. So he told me to do that, so I did it. And he was right, that helped me a lot. I got to meet a lot of people. And then he suggested I go around to other meetings besides that meeting and get telephone numbers from people. And I thought, well, why would I want to do that? I'm not going to call anybody up. I don't even hardly call him, you know.
But that's what I did. I went around and got these numbers, and now I have like a Rolodex full of several hundred numbers. I actually call people. And then he suggested I should do these steps and do this, and maybe at my home group that I got, he said, maybe you ought to like start doing some service work here. So I listened to him. I got to become the secretary, and I was the treasurer, and then I became the GSR and the steering committee. Then I joined three or four other groups, and I took some service spots there. And then my sponsor said to me, he said, well, there's some other people out here who want to get sober and clean, too. He said, maybe you ought to give up some of those good things and let somebody else get sober. That's what I did. So I just went to my home group in, and I volunteered to be the grapevine representative. And through the spirit of rotation, after doing that for like 15 years, I gave that up. But, sometimes service can be humbling, for sure. And 2 weeks ago, my home group members, there's three or four of us, we take a meeting to a rehab. And we've been doing this for 10 years, and we've seen a lot of people get sober and clean there, and some of them are members of our home group. But that's really a reward for us to just carry the message here. And 2 weeks ago, the lady is the supervisor there, who's a friend of mine, for like the past 30 years, asked us not to come back anymore. And I asked her why, and she said, well, we had this intern in there, and she said, you said this stuff to the patients. She said, we called them smut-nosed brats, which we would never do. And she said, we told somebody to shut up and don't talk anymore, which we don't do that either, but maybe we should. But this one fellow was using the F word and taking the Lord's name in vain. We always tell them it's an A-meter, and respect the people around you. And we know they're new, so we let them get away with it once or twice, but this kid, like, you know, just wanted attention. So I just told him, like, you know, not to say it. So he didn't. But this intern, I guess, told this lady all this stuff, and I guess her perspective must be different than ours. But she asked us not to come back, and it really hurt my heart, you know, helping these people. And I knew they'd. But I guess God has different things for us to do in life, too. My sponsor, who has 38 years, his home group needs some little help there. They meet on the same day. It was on a Wednesday. So I'm going to start helping my sponsor at his home group. And it's really great to be here in Hawaii. This is the fifth time I've been to Hawaii. And the first time I came here, I went to the 12 Coconuts meeting about 15 years ago. I met a fellow back here named Ron and said hi to him. And he said, you need a chair? And I said, yeah. So I've been going every time when I come back. So this is like icing on the cake. When I was out there drinking, I never planned to ever come to Hawaii. And since I've been sober, I've been here like 5 times and get to go to all kind of meetings. Now I get to be at a convention. Wow. So, love y'all. Thanks.
I'm sorry. Okay, and Ted? Ted Potts.
Hi everybody, my name is Ted Potts. I'm an alcoholic, and this is really going to bum the wife out. She'll have to buy this tape set now. You were up there? Yeah, you didn't miss nothing. I'm an alcoholic because the first time I drank, and every time thereafter until it stopped working for me, once I started drinking, I continued until I was unconscious. And for a guy that does that, you don't know that's abnormal drinking, because that's what happens every time you drink alcohol. And I'm a late-stage chronic alcoholic because it worked for a minute. And I kept chasing the thing, hoping that it would keep working. And what happened to me, in a nutshell, was I came to you people because they wouldn't take me at the state mental institution, and the police wouldn't haul me to jail. And I didn't have the stones to kill myself. And when I got to you, I was in such a condition that I couldn't remember the Lord's Prayer that you closed the meeting with, even though I'd said it on my knees on the side of my bed until I was probably 12, 13, which coincidentally was about the time I started really getting drunk a lot. I tried to get sober and went to meetings and went to meetings and went to meetings and got a sponsor and bought a big book so my first wife, my trophy teenage trial size bride, could read it and understand me. And I failed miserably. And for the next year and a half, I went to 5 and 6 meetings a week and failed miserably. I'm sorry, did I say a week? I meant a day. You know? And failed miserably. And eventually I ran into a guy that I knew was an alcoholic of my type that cared more about saving my life than he did about sparing my feelings. And out of desperation, even though I didn't think it was a good idea, I worked the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous with that man, specifically the first 8, in about a day. I found out later he'd never done the steps. He was sitting in a coffee shop because his sponsor just told him, "You're too sick to work steps. The only chance you've got is to hope a puke, hope that a puke like you comes in the door and asks you for help, because he's so pathetic." And I showed up and he said, "What took you so long?" And you know, the rest is history. I've been given the hand already, which means I should shut up. So out of respect for this fine looking bunch, I will get out of here. And I'm not an old timer. You have to have 40 years to be an old timer. My sober date's March 1st, 1983. And we had to figure that out a year after the fact. Thank you.
Linda?
My name is Lyndon, and I am an alcoholic, and I don't want to see Matt's finger pointed at me, so my sobriety date is October the 9th, 1986, and so we just celebrated 28 years, and if you would have told me 28 years ago that I would be standing here today, I would say you are crazy, because you know, I first came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous in Pomona, California. And I sat in a meeting called the 6:30 a.m. Daily Attitude Adjustment, excuse me, meeting. And it was, we had people in there named Dr. Paul, named Sister B, named Deke Kennan, and they were my mentors. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm never, ever, ever going to be able to follow in those footsteps. And, you know, those people gave me, what they taught me were invaluable lessons. I didn't know it at the time. You know, my sponsor, she had 9 years, and that seemed like an eternity. And she told me things like, make your bed, wash your dishes, take care of your children, make your husband's lunch, you know, do things that are so simple. And you know what? I did those things. I did those things, and I'm standing here 28 years later, and that's a miracle. That's a miracle for a booze hag. That's what I am. I'm a booze hag. I'm not a socially socialite. I drink out of a bag. I drink out of a box. My friend is making something with corks. I'm like, why would you drink something that had a cork? That's way too hard, you know. And just I'm finishing up because I know Matt's going to point his finger at me. We live in a different world. We live in a different world, but it's the same world. And a few days ago, I got a Facebook message. And I'm not really a Facebook kind of person, but someone asked me to be their sponsor on Facebook. And I am actually meeting with that lady after this meeting. So, go figure. God's in charge. Thank you.
Okay, Michael.
Michael, I'm an alcoholic. I, too, don't want Mount Rizzin'. The ego's too big, you know. One of my favorite meetings of all time in my life, and my sobriety date is, thank you, God, October 6, 1984, occurred on this island with a bunch of old-timers just like this. I was asked to lead. I was given 10 minutes. I said, I'm not going over 10 minutes. Somebody had a bell, and she was going to ring anybody who went over 3 for the sharing. I kept mine at 8. We went to the right, 15 or 20 of us. Not the bell didn't go off one time. That's one of my favorite meetings of all time. Because a bunch of juicers like us, we were listening, we respected it, we did it, we kept it in tune, and then we said the prayer. And then we were back. You know, it was awesome. And it was awesome. And Bogey said we all share cool stuff. So I could never impress you guys with anything. You know, I mean, I'm happy that Bill and Bob had their talk. Okay? They had their talk. And here's Laura, Matt, Chrissy, Bogey, Bobby, here we are, man. This is it. You know, two people talking. Remember that. Thank you.
Okay, I need to take like 30 seconds of our time, and I've been asked to read this. All meetings and keynote speakers are being recorded, including this meeting. If you'd like to order a CD of the weekend, please see Glenn K. Audio in room 317. And if you place your order tonight by 7, your CDs will be available to take home with you tomorrow morning, 10 minutes after the morning speaker. And she wanted me to inform you, too, the last 5 minutes of this meeting, the tape is going to run out. So that's why we're trying to get everybody in so that everybody will be on that tape. So I'm going to call up the next 5, and then that would be Rick E., Tom M., Andy, Lee L., David Williams. And then our next person on the list is Sunshine Loomis. Is Sunshine here? Oh, there she is. Ready to go.
Hi, I'm Sunshine. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for being here. I'd like to just find out if there's anybody here who has less than 25 years. So I think you have more sobriety than some of the people who had more than 25 years that weren't on the list because they left. Ha. Huh. Anyway, my sobriety birthday is February 3rd, 1988. And as a result of coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, I get to live. I was told when I... somebody asked me, how do you become an old-timer? I was told that you don't drink and you don't die. I never imagined I'd be standing here. I don't feel like an old-timer. I'm 26 years. I'm sure I'm not. My grandfather died with 44 years of sobriety in the program, and I did not really understand that he was an Alcoholics Anonymous until I got sober. Is it time? Okay. So, because their fourth baby died of rheumatic fever, the grief overtook my grandparents. And because that fourth baby died, the 3 that were already here and the 2 that were yet to be born got to have sober parents. I don't think when that baby died, they had much joy, but it was as a result of that my grandfather made it to Alcoholics Anonymous and my grandmother made it to Al-Anon, and they stopped hurting the children. And later, they prepared a place for me, and we prepare a place for our children and our grandchildren. I'm just so grateful. Alcoholics Anonymous has allowed me to be made fit for service to God and my fellows. And as a result, when I first came in, I was able to pick up cigarette butts. And today I can do a little bit more. Thank you.
Okay, Rick E.
Good morning, everyone. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Rick Ellis, Cleveland, Ohio. We like to call it the heartbeat of it all. Sobriety date is 12/18/1986. That's your first clue that there's something drastically wrong with me. Anybody that gets sober a week before Christmas, 2 weeks before New Year's, is certainly out of their mind. When I came into the Fellowship of A, he told me that you had to give it away to keep it. When I got sober, I was wearing dreadlocks. I gave it away. I haven't been able to keep anything. Where is my hair? I was selfish, self-centered, greedy. I had no desire whatsoever to help another human being do anything. I wouldn't give you directions. You asked me the time of day. If I was wearing a watch, I'd look at it, look at you, put the smirk on my face, and keep walking. So the idea that I'm supposed to do something for another human being, not my nature. I want what I want, and I wanted it yesterday. That was not soon enough. Through a lot of trials and errors and tribulations, I realized that there isn't anything that I'm not willing to do, Fellowship of AA, as it's described in the big book and some of the writings. There's no sordid place on earth that I'm not willing to go to carry the message. And I'm willing to go to just about any length to help another alcoholic achieve sobriety. And I'm certainly going to every length to maintain my own sobriety. I will give up my life for my sobriety. I give up my life to protect your sobriety. Freely ye have been given, freely ye shall receive. So the only thing that I can do from this point on is take it a day at a time. I always feel and I've always felt that whatever I can do at any convention, any conference, any meeting, this is something that I adopted many years ago. And it's the idea of what can I bring to a meeting to make it better? Not what I can get out of it. What can I bring to a meeting, to a conference, to a convention, to any meeting with another human being? They do not have to be alcoholics. What can I bring to that situation to make it better? I want to be an instrument of peace and accord and serenity, not disruption. Thank you.
Hey, Tom. Tom M. Andy?
Aloha. Aloha! I'm an alcoholic. My name is Andy Anderson. And I'm a pretty healthy guy except for cancer. You know, I'm just in remission from cancer. I'm alive. I've overcome sexual molestations as a child. I was young, 26 years old, when I got here on February the 5th of 1961. Haven't had a drink since. Was fortunate enough to get married to a beautiful lady. We are celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary at Bellows Air Force Base. All come, you all come. We'd love to see you. I'm delighted to be here. Would let you know that, hey, I've spent most of my life trying to give back in a way that I can stay sober. And I would all to
the folks that came before us, Harry and Mary, all of the people that I knew back then that were my mentors, one of the best friends I ever had and one of the best teachers I ever had was a guy named Uncle Herb. So I appreciate being here. I want to give an opportunity to my buddy sitting over there. We go back quite a bit. I appreciate everything Alcoholics Anonymous has given me. A life. Mahalo. I'm not from Australia or Columbia, British Columbia.
Okay, Lee.
Good morning, I'm Lee, and I'm an alcoholic. I used to stutter like that when I first came into this program. I couldn't say the word alcoholic. But thanks to the grace of God, fellowship, and sponsorship, I've been sober since the 25th of April, 1982. And I'm grateful for this program and what it's done for me. It took me 3 tries to finally come into this program. I went to 3 treatment centers, and I was convinced to the very end that I was not an alcoholic. The 3rd time, I finally hit my bottom, and I got down on my knees, and I said, God, you take it. I can't handle it no more. And I was told later, you got to watch what you pray for, because all of a sudden, the miracle started happening. Guys came out of the woodwork and offered their hand, offered their lives for me. And, you know, I have learned that, 2 things I learned that were contradictory when I first got here. One was what the gentleman said, you have to give it away to keep it. And the other thing I learned was you have to surrender to win. And, you know, I'm in this room right now with a bunch of winners. And I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you people are here. And, you know, this conference, I've been to so many conferences, but this conference is in my hometown. You know, I moved back 7 years ago, and I've been coming to this conference ever since. And it never fails to amaze. I'm always amazed at what goes on here. I'd like to thank all the people who volunteer and put this conference together. It's a beautiful conference, and I've been to a lot of conferences all over the world. And again, I'd like to thank you all for giving me what I have today. And I want to be the hand of AA to be there for the next person that comes. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to call up the next 5, which would be Buzz H, Joanne F, David Williams, Keith Kessler. Sorry about this mic action. I'm not sure what's happening here, but anyway. And I'm not a technician, so I'm just going to kind of like play with it here. So if you're up here at the mic and you know anything how to make this thing stick, feel free to do it. Okay.
Yeah, try again. Yeah, I'm a bass player. What do I know?
It may be hard to believe today, but that guy Andy and I started the Fort Worth Young People's Meeting. And I'm going to tell you, he's the best person I know. And I've known him ever since I've been sober. My name is David, and I am an alcoholic. And I have not had a drink of alcohol since January 27th, 1968. And I was talking yesterday about willing to go to any lengths. And I remember the guy that called on me, I'd gone to school with. We'd known each other a long time, and he came. And I'd been drinking for about a week inside this little apartment. And he said, essentially, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, are you willing to do whatever we ask you to do so you don't have to drink anymore? And right then, something clicked in my head. And I said, well, no, I don't think I'm willing to go to any lengths. And he said, he had 42 days in the program. Okay, he said exactly what he needed to say for me. He said, that's fine. You keep on drinking until you're willing to do what we tell you to do. And he said, you don't need to drive. He went up, got some more liquor, cigarette, coke, and left. Said, you call. And about 4 or 5 days later, I couldn't take one more drink, and I called him. And he took me to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've never had a drink since then. He did it by the book. Duh, you know. Since that time, and especially lately about what we give back, I do a lot of meetings at home institutions, I guess. Anyway, jails, penitentiaries, you know. And I was sitting there thinking about this. There's a lot of advantage to that, especially in federal ones, because federal ones are nice. But mostly they can't leave. So you can talk about what you want to. You have a lot more freedom inside there than you do in some of our meetings. They don't be able to get up and walk out around here. So anyway, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Okay, Buzz?
Hi, my name is Buzz. I'm an alcoholic from Long Beach. My sobriety date is November 16, 1968. See, the guy just ahead of me, he's about a month more sober than me. Anyway, Alcoholics Anonymous has been good to me. Make sure my problem was alcohol. I showed up in Los Angeles, young people's meeting, a long time ago, 45 years. Anyway, AA gave me an opportunity to become myself. No more, no less. Just who I am. It worked out for me. I was able to put myself through college, get a job, work for the state of California for 33 years as a parole agent. I know a number of people were talking about H and I work institutions. Anyway, it's been a good deal. I'm not a speaker. I'm an example of Alcoholics Anonymous works. Thank you.
Okay, and next we have Joanne.
Joanne, alcoholic, class of 88, October, and I appreciate that other guy not knowing what date. I looked at a calendar years later, and I thought, that's not the right date, because I remembered I came in on a Sunday. But anyway, I remember, obviously, I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to be I don't know if I wanted to be sober or not. I just wanted to stop the pain. And, and I came into a place where there was the possibility. And I remember, we get choked up, especially old-timers, and it reminds me of Norm Alcee, who used to say, we could have missed it all. And we get so choked up because we see this life that we've had, and it's just so beyond what we anticipated when we walked in the door. And when I came in the door, I didn't want to talk to anybody, I didn't want to touch anybody, I didn't want anybody touching me. And about 6 weeks in, I thought I might, I just couldn't take it anymore, and I asked for help, which I didn't realize, I had taken the first step, and the quietest, sweetest woman came up to me and said, she would help me. She's still my sponsor today. And she said, just, come with me. Thankfully, she called me because I wouldn't have called her. She gave me one of the most important jobs in AA about a year into my sobriety. I brought the donuts to the Sunday night speaker meeting, the donut holes. I wasn't quite really mature enough to do the coffee yet. And, you know, I worked my way up from there. A couple of years in, I became the secretary of that meeting and, you know, being of service and then finding speakers. Without being of service in my family's life, took my mother to Palm Springs so that she can go to some Al-Anon meetings, which, you know, whatever, never happened. But anyway, I was in line thanking the speaker, and the guy behind me was, you know, my mother chatting up anybody looking for a man for me, of course. You know, I was a 30-year-old unmarried woman. And she was starting to talk to this guy, and I needed a speaker, and I asked him to come to speak, being of service, and, you know, I ended up marrying him. You know, so service works in different ways. Anyway, it's been a great ride. You know, I'm in service still to Alcoholics Anonymous, but more importantly, I'm in service in my life. You know, I'm a good daughter, I'm a good sister, I'm a good citizen. Honeycutt reminded me years ago, because, you know, I have a professional job, and he says, you know, you have access to places where maybe other people wouldn't see alcoholics. And, you know, that's hard for me to breach my anonymity in other areas. So I do it delicately, but it's, you know, it's always a struggle. Anyway, I'm so glad to be given the opportunity. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to call up the next 5-2 if you'd like to come up front. Okay, so that would be Ricarda, Tejal, Roland, John, Mark, and then Hector.
My name is Keith. I'm grateful to be an alcoholic. Sometimes when I stand at this podium, I feel like Garrett Morris in Saturday Night Live, and all I can say is, "Hey, been very, very good to me." You know, that's what it feels like. On May 25th, 1986, I staggered into my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and a room full of very, very kind people welcomed me, which was something that people hadn't been doing for a long time. And I always remember a man marked up a meeting book with a highlighter and telling me where he was going to be the next day to meet him. And the next day after that, and then people weren't doing that. They weren't telling me where they were. And that touched me, you know. And then I found out that I joined the most amazing society in the world. No. It was a bunch of, what does it say in the big book? Beggars, tramps, asylum inmates, prisoners, plain ordinary crackpots, queers, plain ordinary crackpots like me, right? Fallen women. I especially like that you had fallen women here. They kept me coming back. Especially, you know, when they showed me how to give it away. But AA's been really amazing. One of the things that I've learned here is that I can never repay my debt to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's kind of like, you know, they say it is like the mafia, you know, you can't leave because you know too much. But I think it's more like using the mafia's alternative financial services, where they say, you know, $6 Friday for $5 today, and you bring them the $6 and they go, oh, no, it's $6 on top of the $5 that we gave you. And I can never repay my debt to Alcoholics Anonymous, because every time I get something here, I just end up owing more than what I came here with. I'm passionately in love with that. Did you raise your hand already? Because I wasn't looking. No? I'm passionately in love with Alcoholics Anonymous. I never thought I'd be in love with anybody like that. Anybody like that. And the last thing I want to say is, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous because other people were giving it away. I read about Alcoholics Anonymous in the newspaper, and that article in the newspaper was there because there were people just like you who were passionately in love with Alcoholics Anonymous in general service, and they made sure that when the newspaper inquired about what AA was, that there were people who could help them write that article. Thanks.
Okay, and next we have Ricarda.
Group. My name's Ricarda, and I am an alcoholic. I was brought into this program by my God, which turned out to be my brother, who had 4 months of sobriety, and trust me, he was a god of his own making. I got sober at the Belmont Group in Garland, Texas, Monday night, September 20th, 1982. And I want to thank you people for putting up with me for all these years. I've lived in Hawaii for 17 years, and it's like coming home. I am just so delighted to be here. Anyway, my adventure started in Garland, and I got really sober in Dallas because they kind of kicked me out of the Belmont Group because I think I was the only unmarried woman there, and I didn't want to be alone. So they encouraged me to hit some meetings in Dallas, so I started going to the the Omega Group. That's where I got semi-sane. Anyway, Dallas did so much for me. My goodness, it's Dallas is just like Hawaii. I mean, if you didn't have fun in your sobriety in Dallas, then something was really wrong. Same thing in Hawaii. If you're not having fun in sobriety, something is wrong with your sobriety. I am so grateful to be here, be sober, and oh my goodness, it's just like old home week. I see so many familiar faces. I love you all. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, next we have Tehel. Tehel, she may have left. Okay. Roland.
I'm an alcoholic. Malia Discussion Group is my own group. All right, we got some guys here. Giving back. It's a little different today. A couple of people. Thanks for the guys that came before me that showed me the way. And like I heard earlier, self-centered and selfishness is the root of my problem. And I never like help nobody. But people showed me. And even when we went to the treatment centers and try to share our experience, I mean, back then, there was in little bad shape like I was when I came in. Today is a little different, but we still got to help them. And they are coming into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, but they come in through treatment, through prison, and through other assets to the community. But it's a little different. And sometimes it's difficult to work with, because a lot of times you're going to tell them, oh, go meet him, you know, then sweep the floor, mop the floor, you know, then join the home group. What I got to do that for? They're out of there. And that's after they come right out of treatment. But Alcoholics Anonymous is still here, willing to help. And people like Harry and Mary showed me, you know, that what I had to do was my part. Because looking at the traditions, they tell me that's the ultimate sacrifice for the drunk to come. Now then, taking care of principles, care of personalities. And I did have a lot of judgments when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I never like to be here because my idea of service wasn't working or helping. I remember in the beginning, and my sponsor kind of told me, pick up ashtrays. And then the only reason I did that, I seen him talking to the treasurer. And you know, I thought I would get some financial assistance. You know, and then when I went up to him and I kind of asked him, oh, are we going to get anything for doing this? Oh yeah, you're going to come back next week, clean up more ashtrays. But thank God for them, or not, I wouldn't be able to enjoy the life that I do have today. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay, John? Is John here? Okay, how about Mark? All right, so real quick, the first couple names, in case you came in late, Ernest, Jim H., Linda McD. Okay, then Hector.
I'm a youngster. Hector, 35 years, alcoholic. Yeah, we're talking about step 12, service. That's what the book says. When everything else fails, what does it say? It doesn't say go out and buy another car, right? When everything else fails, go and find somebody to help, to love, to care for. Because what you taught me here is that the only love that heals me is the love I give you. It's wonderful that you love me, but it's infinitely much more important that I love you. Khalil Gibran said it best. He said, when we die, the only thing we take with ourselves is what we have given away. And the most important thing we can give away when we are alive is the gift to ourselves. That's step 12. And Dr. Bob said it more succinctly. He said, the problem can be summed up in two words, love and service. Love is God. Service is God made visible, or God in action. The people who put up this wonderful convention, all of this, they took time, they gave. And you know, this book just came out. It was the best-selling book in the history of the world. It came out about 5-6 years ago. It's a spiritual book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Nothing sold more than that book than the Bible. And the whole gist of the book is the purpose of life is to give. You see, it's to give. When you think about all the great masters through history, including Bill Wilson, they gave their lives, you know, to help others. You know, when you think Jesus Christ, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, what do they did? They gave. And those who don't give nothing shall receive nothing. And those who give more and more shall receive more. Because affluence, affluent comes from the French word affluere. It's a flow. The more you give, you shall receive, you know. That's what I do now, the same thing I did when I came into the program 35 years ago. Three commitments, sponsor people. I pray and meditate. I have a sponsor. I've been to so many places to speak, and also to some place I didn't go to speak, you know, like jail and the nut places, you know. But I did it, and I didn't do this for I'm good or spiritual. I did it because I don't want to die. And a lot of people I've seen died in AA, sober. They forgot to do one thing, to make AA number one priority. I always tell people, it's okay to give AA only 10% of your life. Just make sure it's the first 10%. God bless you. I love you.